This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 49, Local Dodging and Burning, Lightning and Darkening, for July 29, 2008. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 49th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and today is July 29, 2008. For today's show, we're going to talk about a really important topic in photography and printing photographs. And this is going to be an intermediate podcast, but it's an important one for all newbies to be aware of as they get better and better. Again, if you hear ambient noises, I'm recording from Parc La Fontaine in Montreal. Kids are on vacation, so you might hear, you know, ice cream bikes and kids and cars and ducks and trees and things like that. If these ambient noises are distracting to you, please let me know by email. That would be really great. photography.ca@gmail.com. Of course, you can comment directly on the blog. Just make your way to photography.ca/blog. And of course, you can talk about stuff in the forums as well. It's always free to register, and we love the interaction in our forums. Just go to photography.ca and make your way to the forums. So as we mentioned, today's show is going to talk about local dodging and burning. And that basically means selectively darkening and selectively lightening different areas in your photograph. And nowadays, we're doing it with our computers in programs like GIMP or Photoshop, but previously we were doing this in the darkroom, and we would use dodging and burning tools, and in the darkroom, burning in tools was basically just a hole, and you can make a hole with your hands, and by adding extra light to certain parts of the photo, that would make it darker, and on the other side, we would use instruments to dodge, which was just a solid object, and we would use it under our enlarger so that when the light of our enlarger hit our photographic paper, a solid object came between, and that would prevent extra light from hitting that part of the photograph. And that's how it used to be done in a traditional darkroom. And that's how I used to do it. And that's how I still do it, roughly about once a year, because that's all I'm spending in the darkroom these days, unfortunately, because I do love the process so much. But before we get more heavily into the podcast, I'd like to thank people for their comments. As always, I'd like to thank Benoit C. for his comment on our newborn photography podcast, How to Photograph Newborns, last time, number 48. Benoit C. found a lot of interest in that podcast since he's going to be doing some newborn photography real soon. Congrats. And I'd like to thank Benny as well for his comments on our last podcast. He thought it was useful as well. We also have some new bulletin board members that have been leaving comments, and I'd like to thank them. Since our last podcast, both Chantal and Benoit C. and DiStefano Photography and Mr. Tim have left a few comments, and it's greatly appreciated. Many more people have joined up, but they haven't left comments as of yet. I absolutely encourage people to leave comments and just post some photos and ask questions, especially when we're starting out. There's so many questions we have, and those of us who've been doing this for a while can answer these questions usually pretty quickly and can get you on your way. So now let's get right into the podcast. And this podcast, actually something I've been wanting to do for a long time, but a bulletin board member, Isaac from Ethiopia, actually we have people listening from all over the world, I love it. He posted a couple of images on the bulletin board, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes, so not to worry. But basically, he started off with an image, and thanks, Ishak, for allowing me to use your images as a learning tool. He basically started off with an image that was very drab. So it was missing a lot of oomph. It was missing a lot of punch. And with some ideas that we gave him in the critique forum on our forums, you can see if you go to that thread, the last print that he put up with the corrections in hand that we suggested makes that print a lot more interesting, a lot more dynamic, and it has many, many more tones. And once those tones are exploited to their fullest potential, makes the print sing. And this is actually a term, making a print sing, that I learned way back in photo school in the earlier 90s. And when a print sings, basically what that means is it has a lot of variety within the different tones in an image. Sometimes when we get an image out of our camera, we just open it up on our computer, the image doesn't sing yet. It's just an average representation of what we saw. And although our eyes caught the magic of the print, or our eyes caught the potential magic of the potential print, when we look at it for the first time on our computers, it ain't there, and we got to work to get it. And how do we work to get it, and why does this happen? Well, I've said this many, many times before, but the camera cannot see. All a camera is, even if it costs $10,000, it's a box with a flap, and it has no idea what it's looking at. Newer cameras may suggest that they recognize faces, but they don't really know it's a face. All they know is, you know, the shape and the difference in tone between a face and, let's say, a tree and what's going on. But no camera knows it's looking at a face. I mean, if I cut out an oval sign and put it up in front of these new cameras, it may track it thinking it's a face, but it don't know that it's a face. Only you know it's a face. And likewise, the camera doesn't know anything. It just doesn't not know dick. It doesn't know anything. All a camera does is give you an average representation of the tones that are in the shot. And usually it gives a good representation, but it's only a starting point. So the camera doesn't know that it's seeing a beautiful river, a beautiful face, a beautiful tree. All that camera does is mathematically add and divide and use some kind of really complex algorithm, but at the end of the day, it's just giving you an average, and it doesn't know if that average looks good or not. Only you know if that average looks good or not, and I'll tell you straight off the bat, 9 times out of 10, it's only a good starting point, and you need to do some work. So speaking from my personal experience here, a lot of people ask me what I do, how I shoot, etc. So if I'm photographing the shot for myself, if I'm creating, in quotation marks, an artsy photograph, or I'm working on this photograph, then I am dodging and I am burning different parts of that photograph. And all that really means, especially when we're using Photoshop or another program like GIMP or another graphics program, all that really means is selectively making areas darker and selectively making areas lighter. And I do this with practically 100% of all my prints. And I used to do this with approximately 100% of all my wet darkroom prints as well. So I do the same thing, both digitally and in a traditional wet darkroom. I should say that, like, wedding photographers are not going to do this, because wedding photographers are going to shoot, you know, 400 to 1,000 shots per wedding, and there's just no way to dodge and burn that many photographs. So when it comes to certain types of high-volume work, you know, you may not do this. If you're doing this in studio and your lighting is perfect and you see your perfect result, then you may not have to do this. But for the average shot and the average scene, you're going to need to do this. And if you had the time or you had enough money to pay someone to do this, even wedding photographer shots, where they take so many of them and the lighting is often good in certain areas and they don't dodge and burn, if they had the time and or money, they probably would dodge and burn almost every single shot, just because it's going to make it that much more dynamic. When a newbie looks at that shot, or someone without photographic experience looks at that shot, they probably will not be able to tell a difference. However, put that shot next to a shot that a photographer has dodged and burned, and they will tell you which one's better, and it's always going to be the dodged and burned shot, if it's done well, of course. So the hardest part in all of this is starting out. You don't really know where to start out when you're a newbie, or when you don't have too much experience. You just know it doesn't look right, and you don't know why it doesn't look right. And this is only going to come with experience. So what I highly suggest as a starting point is whatever the focal point in your image is. If it's a portrait, so the focal point is usually a person. If it's a landscape, it may be one area of the landscape that becomes the focal point. Try and get that focal point to be as accurate as possible to start, and then take light away, which means dodge, or add light in, which means burn, to other specific areas of the image. And problem areas are often going to be the sky. The sky is often going to be blown out. And again, we've done podcasts on this, but, you know, in order to eliminate or help this, you want to use a neutral density filter, or you want to use a polarizing filter, and this will help bring the sky in the acceptable zone that your camera can reproduce more naturally rather than artificially. So using the sky as an example, the sky is often something that needs burning in, because the sky in your image is often going to be pure white, or it's not going to have enough tone, it's not going to have enough detail whatsoever. So by adding extra light to that part of the image, or by adding extra tone to that part of the image, when you're using a graphics program, that's gonna bring the details more in the sky, and it's gonna give you a better print at the end of the day. A washed out sky just means a bad print overall, generally. Maybe there's exceptions, but generally a washed out sky makes the print bad. It's a distraction and you don't want it. You want to burn it in. Similarly, on the opposite end, if something is too black, so it's pure black, it has no tone in the black, well, there may be a few select spots in the photograph where that's going to be a useful thing to have. And in fact, it will be a useful thing to have because you want to have a full range of tones. You want your print to go in certain areas of your print. You want to have pure white and pure black. But large areas of pure black are a distraction. So when you're producing your photograph or when you're working on it in the darkroom, what you want to do is you want to try and add extra detail in the blacks. And how you're going to do that is by dodging or removing or lightening some of that black space to show the underlying detail. And this is the basic principle of all dodging and burning. Sometimes it'll be midtones that need either burning in or dodging. You know, if the grass is too dark, so it needs dodging. If it's too light, it needs burning in. And really only your eye and with experience and patience is going to allow you to achieve a print that really sings in quotation marks. But it needs to be done. It needs to be done. It needs to be done slowly. And you know, if you don't know what you're doing, just post it. Just post it on our critique site. We have this critique forum in the forums. Just post it there. And many people are posting their shots and they're finding our advice really valuable. And this tip, dodging and burning, is something that over and over and over and over and over again. We just do it over and over and over again. But it's an absolute key point and it never gets boring for me. When I see a print that can be helped with dodging or burning, it's more than my pleasure and our other members' pleasures to suggest where to dodge and burn. Another area where dodging and burning is often important, burning in particular, are the edges of a photograph. The edges of a photograph are often overlook parts, but they're important parts. They're really important parts of the image. And very, very often, I find that the edges are weak in a photograph. So you look at a photograph, whatever it represents, let's say in this case, it's a landscape. And again, maybe there was a little bit of an issue with the sky because the photographer didn't use a proper filter or it was just too bright and he tried to take the shot anyway. Well, again, that edge or the sky is going to be a little too washed out. It's not going to have enough definition. You got to work on that edge. You want the edge to be different than the paper it's on. You want there to be some difference. Unless it's a high key photograph, there's always exceptions. So I'm always talking generally here. But generally, you want the edges of your photograph to be well defined. You want the entire image to be well defined. And edges in particular often need to be burned or darkened. And again, one of the tips that I learned back in photo school in the early 90s is going to be kind of vignetting the edges. So in the darkroom, what we used to do is after we finished all the dodging and burning in the middle of the photograph, the last thing that we used to do, or I used to do, is I used to add a little extra light to the edges, thereby making all the edges of the image darker. And it really makes the central part of that image pop or sing, and it helps your print become more alive. So be aware of the edges and be aware that sometimes a little bit of a vignette around the edges or just straight burning of the edges is going to make your print more dynamic. And again, with this vignette technique, it really helps to focus your eye because you as the artist, photographer, want to lead the viewer's eye. We've said this many, many times before, and the vignetting helps to lead their eye. It helps to lead their eye away from the edge and toward the central or focal points of the image. And now I'd like to talk about Ishak's photo. And Ishak, as we mentioned really at the beginning, he posted a series of improvements based on our suggestions. And he's really the reason that we're doing this podcast today. I was going to do it eventually, but we're going to use his work as an example. And if you go to the blog, photography.ca/blog, and make your way to podcast number 49, this podcast, you will see before and after images that Ishak has done with selective dodging and burning. And the differences between the photos are very, very dramatic. And you'll see the first photo is drab and the last photo is much, much better. I've been doing this a little bit longer than Ishak. And his final image, for me, wouldn't be my final image. But you could see that it's vastly, vastly superior to the first image he put up. And his last image is really, really getting close to singing. There's a lot more tones and a lot more variety of tones throughout the image, where the first image he posted was flat and it really lacked any kind of oomph or punch. It was a beautiful image of waterfalls. I mean, the area is spectacular. And when he looked at it with his eyes, it must have been spectacular. But then when he got it back and he looked at it on his computer, he's like, what the? not so spectacular. But with the local dodging and burning, you can make that print sing again. Of course, there are limits to how much dodging and burning you could do. If the photograph is clipped, so there's no more details in the whites, it's going to be harder to burn that photograph. It's going to be harder to darken those certain areas because they may appear gray and muddy. There is a limit to what can be done. But as long as the image has a reasonable variety of tones to start with, then dodging and burning can really, really help the image, and you'll only know when your image is unsalvageable through experience. In terms of the actual tools that you're going to use to dodge and burn in like Photoshop or GIMP, that's really a personal thing. Photoshop can do things in so many different ways. There's even a dodging and a burn tool in Photoshop. I rarely use those tools, to be honest. I prefer, it's a bit of an advanced technique, but I'll describe what I use most of the time. I'll just use a brush, a pretty soft brush, and I will just use the blending modes called soft light or overlay. So I'll choose a soft edge brush. I'll use my blending mode as overlay or soft light. And then I will just simply choose a new layer, a brand new layer. I'll put that layer on top of my existing image. And then, believe it or not, I actually add color. So for the white part of the photograph, if I want to make a light part of the photograph a little darker, so I will choose the black color generally, or a grayish color as my foreground color in my color palette in Photoshop, and then I will just paint over that image on a new layer, I hope this is making sense, using an opacity somewhere between 4% and maybe 15%, something like that. And I'll describe the technique in words a little bit in the show notes as well about how I use this technique. And it's sort of an advanced technique, but I do know a lot of other photographers that work in similar ways. Often when you use the dodging and burning tools in Photoshop, I find especially the burning tool, I get a lot of muddy gray. And when I use this technique that I just described, using overlay or soft light, just with a soft edge brush with an opacity of 4 to 15%, bit technical, but that's my recipe for a lot of my shots, and that's how I add a lot of light to those shots. And I'll use that opacity 4 to 15% whether I'm dodging or burning. And when I'm burning, I'm using black, and when I'm dodging, I'm using white. I use the brush for both, and it tends to give a very pleasing result, and you can try this test yourself. So just take an image and use that technique to take away light and add light to specific parts of the image, see what you get. You know, if you're curious about what other people think of your work, post in the critiques forum. It's free to join, and I'd love to see more members. I think that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Thanks so much, Ishak, for allowing me to use your two photographs to illustrate this point about local dodging and burning, and how local dodging and burning can really make your print sing when it otherwise was pretty silent. So thanks again for listening, everyone. Next episode will be our 50th episode. Very interesting. Not sure what I'm going to do for the 50th episode yet, but hopefully it'll be another good episode, and feel free to suggest something as well if something comes to mind, and maybe I'll choose that as the 50th episode. Oh, before I forget, we've started doing some assignments in the bulletin board. So every month we choose a theme, and I think we're going to start doing it twice monthly now. So if you're interested in doing the assignments with us, please just go to the forum and check out, photo assignments. It's a forum within the larger bulletin board, and you can post your own images and suggest other themes and things like that. And we all learn from each other's shots. So it's a great way to learn and show some work and get out there and to do some work. Sometimes we have like a mental block, or we don't know what to shoot anymore. But if someone gives us a topic or an assignment, then we get inspiration somehow. So if these are giving you inspiration in any way, shape, or form, yahoo, go with it. We love it. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As always, shoot weird angles, get out there, turn your camera backwards, strap it to your head, take a shot on automatic, use mirror lockup, don't use mirror lockup, move the lens during the exposure, just get out there and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone.